Hello there, Podcast Land. Episode number 23 of the Behind the Barricade Podcast is sponsored by PodcastX. Podcasters, do you want to expand your podcast reach to 360 million, maybe even more people? Do you want to make your podcast searchable on Google, Yahoo, and all those other great sites? Then look no further than PodcastX. You can increase your podcast reach exponentially. You can also reach the deaf and hearing impaired, or the people who like to read interviews, like myself. We can all read your podcast, and it's thanks to, all together now, PodcastX. One more time, PodcastX. See, repetition. I want you to dream about PodcastX, and then I want you to go to PodcastX.com and purchase their service. It's so awesome. There is so many unique ways that PodcastX can help you. Maybe you have a few links you'd like to include. Not a problem. You want to include a video? Cool. Why not? PodcastX can do it for you. Seems too good to be true? Visit PodcastX.com to create a more dynamic user experience for your audience today, tomorrow, the next day, the day after that. I'm talking about PodcastX. One more time, PodcastX. Just kidding. One more time now, PodcastX. Hit my intro music.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Behind the Barricade Podcast. And here are your hosts, John O'Connor and Daniel Tao.
Good morning, Podcast Land. Episode 23 of the Behind the Barricade Podcast starts right now. My name is John O'Connor. Daniel Tao is in Colorado this week. He's smoking the ganj, or whatever the cool kids call smoking marijuana. Maybe smoking a reefer. Maybe smoking a doobie. Maybe smoking some grass, smoking some bud. I don't know. There are so many cool things you could do with marijuana these days. I mean, I wouldn't know. I'm a wholesome Christian boy. Wink. See, I winked there, and you can't see the wink, so I'm going to say wink. Get it? Whatever. He'll be back next week. Today, we talk with Tron, one half of New York hip-hop group Tron and DVD. Tron and I talk about the current state of hip-hop, being an artist and working for his label, KM Records, opening up for 21 Pilots, his techniques when entering the studio, and a lot more. Tron and DVD have a free show coming up on June 10th. They're playing the Little Dick Man Records official Northside Showcase Barbecue. Wow, say that three times fast. I'm not even going to attempt that. But they'll be in Bushwick, New York at 595 Central Ave. Show starts at 5 p.m., but there's a good amount of groups and artists playing this one, so don't worry, you're going to get your money's worth, even though it's free. So come on out, have some fun, maybe have a few drinks, have some great barbecue, and listen to some awesome music. There we go. That's all I have to say about that. But before we head into the episode, there's a great trend starting that I'd like to address. I can't even speak right. I'd like to address. That's how great this trend is. This trend is so great that I can't even speak about it. And no, it's not that nude selfie thing that people are starting to do. Please, don't send any more to us. We don't want them, nor will we accept them. And we will put you on the pay no mind list. We might even throw a block. That's how crazy we are. But anyways, this new trend is awesome. Our new fans have not only been subscribing, but also downloading every one of our episodes. So I'd like to encourage everyone to do that. We have about 35,800 followers on Twitter, give or take a couple hundred. I don't even remember. If every single one of them downloaded all 23 episodes, we'd have 823,400 downloads for our show. That would open up so many opportunities for us. It's just not even funny, and it'd just be so awesome if everyone can do that. So I just want to thank everyone who's been doing that already, and for the others who haven't, get on that. Let's go. The show is free. We're not asking for any money. Just 23 downloads each. If you listen to all of our episodes already, just download them, then delete them. It still counts. Okay. Thank you all for all of that. Now it's time for episode 23 with Tron. Let's go.
Under the pressure, never I'm built tough. Who else hears to the test of time besides us? When it came to spitting rhymes, yo, I spill guts. I spit bucks trying to make it to a tour bus, and all I got left is an armful of long cuts. Cause I bleed for this shit, man. I would die in the booth if it wasn't for these hits, fam. I see the posers and wannabes surrounding me, thinking they can do what I do, but that's a fallacy. You was never on my level, the audacity. And you guys can have the game back right after me. Respect a true warrior when you around one. My words tear foes apart like a pack of gum. For years we
Tron, what's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing all right, doing all right. It's a nice Thursday. It's finally nice out. It only took a whole winter season to get through. Where are you calling from?
Rockland, Valley Cottage, New York.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Not 100% familiar with that area. Are you by Nyack?
Yeah. Nyack and Valley Cottage are basically like the same thing. They're right next to each other.
Oh, okay. All right. I frequent the mall up there, as do numerous other people.
Yeah. I live right next to the mall.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. All right. So you are one half of Tron and DVD, which is
correct.
One hell of a rap name, I got to tell you that much. Where'd you get it from? Is it from the movie, or is it like a playoff of your name? Or
yeah, basically, I've had a bunch of rap names, just terrible, like trying really hard, and then it was actually my nickname in high school was just Norvatron 5000, and that's what everyone called me. And that's what I went with. And then it just shortened into Tron when I started, you know, doing serious projects. And DVD, basically, that's his initials. So he's just always been DVD.
Oh, I mean, that helps.
Yeah. And so we thought about getting like a group name, but we were like, we do stuff on the side, like solo stuff. So kind of makes more sense to just keep it at that.
Yeah, which I did listen to over on your SoundCloud page, which is soundcloud.com/TronAndDVD. And there's two Ds in there just for people listening at home.
Yeah.
And actually listened to Dark Ocean and actually liked it. You know, there was a good blend of, there was like some Kid Cudi samples, and your flow is somewhat like Atmosphere. I don't know if you've ever heard of them.
Yes, definitely. Definitely a big Atmosphere fan. So I'll take that compliment.
Absolutely. What made you think that you have the SoundCloud page and you decided to release both your stuff and DVD stuff and then a mixture of both instead of having, you know, three different accounts?
Well, we always were Tron and DVD once we like started pursuing, I guess, as a business standpoint, pursuing music. And just, you know, one of the big things about being marketable and being easy to, you know, find and is, you know, simplicity. Like you don't want to have too many different sites. You don't want to have, you know, all kinds of crazy combinations of names. So we came down to just Tron and DVD, everything, TronandDVD.com, Tron and DVD Twitter, Tron and DVD Facebook, because that's, you know, that's the way, you know, professionals do it. And, you know, if you want to be professional, you gotta make sure that if someone just saw you one day at a show, they can easily look that up. They don't have to dig around. You can just type it in and you'll be able to find us pretty easily.
Yeah, which is a great thing. I mean, bands nowadays, they have like a different Facebook than their Twitter, yeah, than their Instagram. And, you know, it's like six different links instead of having just one said link.
Exactly. It's something that I've prided myself on, just like being, because going to school for music, my professor was always like, if someone asks you, you know, oh, can I listen to your stuff? And if you have to say more than like two things, then it's already too late. You know, you want to give it to them quick and fast.
Yeah, I totally agree. Where'd you go to school for music?
I went to school at Mercy College for music industry and technology.
Okay, yeah, I did the same thing, only it was up at University of New Haven, up in Connecticut.
Yeah, cool.
I guess you're not in like the music industry, like they promised you.
Well, no, it's a funny story. I actually had a few pretty good internships, and I always did it, you know, on my own on the side, you know, booking, press, and things like that. And then we actually got picked up by an independent label, Chaim Records. So I've been, you know, working with that, and then actually I started working for the label as an employee as well later on. So I kind of am like working for this label at the same time of being on it.
Oh, wow. So it's like a player manager type of deal.
Yeah.
Do you butt heads with anyone over there because of that, or is everyone just chill over there?
No. It's a small label, but it's actually pretty successful. And my boss is like the main artist on it. And we're just, you know, writing a lot of songs, trying to develop a plan, you know, see what direction we're going to go. So we're not making any decisions yet. We're making a bunch of stuff to choose from. So I wouldn't say I've had to, you know, debate any of my choices yet.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
It's always great to be on the same level as, you know, your bosses and your peers.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely been an experience because usually, you know, before this, it was just me and my brother and just, you know, just doing things like everyone else, just putting it out on the internet and just trying to play gigs. And now that it's becoming a little more, you know, professional, that it's definitely interesting learning experience.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So anyways, I'm sure you've been into music your whole life. Where did where did it start? Was it your family? Did you hear like a record, maybe Gnosis Illmatic, or how did it all begin?
Well, yeah, I mean, like the first stuff I can remember listening to was like Wu-Tang Clan and like Rage Against the Machine, and, like the Doors, because like I was born in '88, so I started listening, probably remembering what music I could listen to probably around like maybe 93, 92, you know, 4 or 5 years old. And I remember my brother, because Wu-Tang had a lot of curses in it, so I wasn't really allowed to listen to it, but my older brother would let me listen to it, like really low, so my parents couldn't hear. So so we would basically just try to do what they did. Like, that's how, you know, everyone really should start, is just trying to mimic things that they heard. And we had like a tape recorder, and we just put on beats and tried the freestyle. And, you know, if we could write at the time, then, you know, we would be able to write and just, you know, try to make things from scratch. Like from day one, it's always been about using the tools and the equipment that you have at your disposal and just trying to make the best out of it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I started with like, you know, a little tape recorder, went to like a little bigger boom box and, you know, karaoke machine. And then, you know, once computers started getting into the mix, then, you know, every type of mic you could possibly hook up into a computer once it became really commercial, then I've used it probably. So
hey, nothing wrong with that. It's all about trial and error in the music world.
Yeah, and you know, now that we got to this point where we're actually, you know, recording at a professional studio, it just seems like I'm going in the right direction, you know, progressing as far as recording goes.
Oh, absolutely. And also with your concerts, I mean, we have a mutual friend in Tori who has also been on this podcast numerous times, and she actually gave me the heads up that you've opened up for 21 Pilots.
Yeah, that was a really cool show and fun experience because those guys are super cool. And right now they're obviously like as big as you can get.
Yeah, one of the biggest bands right now.
Yeah, and it's dope because literally the show we played with them, it was like the night before their like big like label showcase. So, and I remember talking to them about like how that show after our show was going to be the one to like, you know, really see what direction they were going to go in and see if labels were going to like, their label was going to like really like, you know, push them. And I guess it worked out. So,
yeah. And where was the show at?
It was at Ramapo College.
Oh, wow. They played there.
Yeah, it was like we just played one of their like smaller rooms that they had. We played there a bunch of times, even like outside and stuff. But they got them there. Yeah, they weren't really, you know, that super big at the time. It was like right before things really blew up for them.
Nah, I hear you there. I mean, I've been to Ramapo once for a show, and this was back in 2005 or 6, and it was Yellow Card right after Ocean Avenue came out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and to think that they're playing, like, you know, Starland, they're playing whatever theater was in New York, probably Best Buy Theater or Nokia Theater at the time, and then they're playing some college, and I'm just like, I'm scratching my head. I'm like, how am I seeing this band right now?
Yeah, they have a dope music department. I guess someone knows what they're doing over there.
Yeah, them and William Patterson. I don't know if you're aware of that university.
Yeah, I actually played their radio station's fundraiser thingy.
Oh, that 24 hours of live events? Yeah.
That was really fun. And we did like their little interview on their TV station and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to see all these institutions, all these educational places, colleges, and even some high schools are starting to pick up the music. Thankfully.
Yeah, and what's good about it is that, you know, you get to see where a lot of these newer, younger bands are getting some of their rise. You know, like, if it wasn't for college radio, a lot of people would not know a lot of bigger people before they got bigger. You know, we'd all just see them as soon as they got super huge and not know about, you know, the earlier stuff, you know, because really college radio really deals with a lot of indie labels and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And getting their stuff out.
Yeah, I know that the college radio station for Seton Hall was one of the first ones to break My Chemical Romance.
Yeah, see, you never really know, you know, because it could just be anyone that works there. They say, hey, this is cool, let's put it on. They don't have to go through anyone else, really, and, you know, you never know what's going to happen with that band next.
Yeah, as long as there's no FCC violations or any of that, you know, right. If there's no cursing, then you're good to go.
Yeah.
And to think you could just make a huge break. I mean, look at 21 Pilots. They basically got big, I don't want to say overnight and not, you know, discredit them of their achievements, but it was basically overnight.
As far as the mainstream goes, I would say kind of, yeah, overnight, because they were only on their second album, and it's like, you know, it did so well. But I remember talking to Tyler about how they were playing for 7 years before they got a record deal, you know, just grinding it out like a lot of, you know, underground bands do. So, you know, for them, it definitely wasn't overnight. But
yeah,
for anyone, you know, just watching from the first album, then, yeah, it was pretty quick to be, you know, selling out Madison Square Garden like two nights in a row.
Yeah, it's crazy. And they're doing like the one of the things I'm liking that bands are doing right now, that they're pre-selling a tour a year in advance just because they're hot right now. And I'm not saying they're going to be hot next year or not, but you know, they already sold out all these arenas already. Like, same thing with that 5 Seconds of Summer did, I think, last year for this year. And they sold everything out, and now they're kind of fizzling out, but...
I mean, you know, you got to get the dates, and if you have the base to actually sell out stadiums like that, then you don't have to worry about fizzing out anytime soon. As far as, you know, and 21 Pilot fans are definitely really... die hard. They're definitely, you know, they really connect and relate, which is cool, because those guys are pretty cool dudes and they're really well deserving of it.
Yeah, and like you said, their fan base is very insane.
Yeah.
it's almost comparable to like One Direction or 5 Seconds of Summer, like the boy bands, even though they are, I don't want to say legitimate, but it's not this, it's different. It's not the same copy paste thing like other boy bands.
No,
are.
Definitely. It's really what you're seeing basically is a real deal, big push on an authentic act that would probably be, you know, if it wasn't for someone taking a chance on them, would probably still be underground. Not that they're not super talented, but for the fact that it's hard to get a real push with something so authentic and relatable to, you know, Outkast or anyone who feels like they're not part of the mainstream. So they really represent like a kind of underdog type thing when it comes to fame, even though they're super famous, you know.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
They have songs about making cheesy radio hits, yet they have 4 or 5 radio hits right now, you know. It's kind of it's ironic, but still, you know, it just proves that, you know, you just got to go the right way and go with the lane that you're given and, you know, work hard and not give up, basically. You know, me and Dario, my brother DVD, have been at it for about, well, professionally for about 6 or 7 years, I think. And, you know, so for them to tell me that it took them 7 years, like, I don't get discouraged by it at all.
No, I mean, it definitely takes a while, and I've seen a whole bunch of bands, usually around the 7 year mark. If you don't have a solid fan base by then, you're just not going to have it.
That's, and it also has to do with like your progression. You know, if you're not getting any better or getting better gigs, then you might have to try something different. And for us, we've just been getting better and, you know, getting more looks and, you know, getting new ears. Every time we make something, there's new ears on it. So that's all that matters, really.
Yeah, definitely. I've seen you played at places like the Bitter End, Live from the Gutter in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Is there other places that you frequent?
Yeah, we've played at like Santos Party House a lot, Webster Hall, a bunch of times, Knitting Factory. We did Warped Tour in 2011 on a date in Long Island, and then we did Bamboozle in 2011 as well, on the Spitter stage with like Big Sean, Pusha T, Machine Gun Kelly. And that was huge for us. That really like sparked us. We've played all over the city, all over Brooklyn, Glasslands, like some of the big DIY venues that were, you know, really, you know, getting a lot of up and comers. Mm-hmm. In Brooklyn. You know, we just played, we recently played Union Pool, which is, you know, a lot of bands that are making it have to go through certain venues in Brooklyn, and that's like one of them, you know? So yeah, we've definitely been trying to work as much as possible.
No, I hear you there. And that's the only thing you can do is grind. I mean, unless you get famous off of YouTube, like Justin Bieber, you know, you have to put the work in. You have to be traveling to different places. And have you ever been on a tour yet, or you just kept it local right now?
We've pretty much just been tri-state area, you know, New York City, just mostly just, you know, you have to. We're going to be working on doing a little tour, hopefully this summer, when we start releasing a few more singles for the label.
So I guess it's going to be maybe like a label tour, maybe you and other people on the label, or is it like maybe similar artists?
Usually a similar artist, probably someone a little more notable. You know, a lot of bands on our label tour with bigger acts. Like my boss has toured with Nico Case, a band on our label, Birda Youth, is going on tour with Nada Surf and Aqua River. So, you know, it's looking good as far as, you know, progression.
So you guys might be going out with Run the Jewels.
that would be the dream right there. But maybe a little smaller.
Well, yeah.
to start.
Hey, you know what? Dream big. That's all I have to say.
You got it.
Besides Run the Jewels, any other big names you'd like to tour with, or any names in general?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've played with a lot of very cool artists that, you know, I would love to even play with again, even if we were gotten bigger. And, you know, like a lot of people that we played with have gotten super big. Like we used to play with Kay Flay a lot. And she's just really successful now, too. So, if, you know, like our sounds mix well with people like that we've already, like we've been playing with a lot of people that I could see us just playing with more and more. Like Mega Ran, On Cue, Spose, you know, K Flay. We've a lot of these indie artists have just, you know, been grinding it out just as long, and like, you know, everyone's achieving a little bit of success. As far as just like really big, I like a few duos that are out, like Run the Jewels and you know, like Greaves and Budo. You know, just a little more like alternative rap, like not really like super crazy
mainstream type of deal.
You know, super, yeah. Not that I don't like it, just like our sound just meshes with people that have a little bit more open mind. Like it's not like we're talking about the same exact stuff. You know, like there's like guys like Chance the Rapper, like stuff like that. I like a lot. You know,
yeah.
And I feel like fans of certain people will, you know, ease towards us a lot more if the music that we're playing with is a little more abstract and alternative.
Oh, absolutely. And I've listen to your stuff, and you know, it's not, I don't want to say it's not like mainstream rap or it's going to pick it up, but I mean, like, mainstream rap, what I think basically focuses on that one hook where they say it over and over again, while you guys, you have the flow, you got the beats down, and then you have like that, the little hook there, which is, you know, it's not too repetitive, which is
right,
which is what I like.
Yeah, well, people have to, you know, understand that, like, for hooks especially, there's just got to be different formulas for it. Like, you can have that one where it's just like you can say a phrase over and over, because, you know, hip hop has definitely had that. Even in its classic days, they've definitely had simple hooks. But then you've also, you know, forgotten about hooks that are just like a part of the verse, you know, that sound like it's a part of the verse. It's just, it just matters on what you do and how you use it. If it can, you know, if it works to your advantage. And then if you do it too much, then obviously you can tell that, you know, someone ran out of ideas.
and there's a few rap songs I've heard of where I'm like, really?
Yeah, it's when you have something that produces a bit of success, instead of, there are people that are going to innovate and, you know, feed off of it and try to do something better. And then there are people who are going to squeeze it until it's completely done and you have to make something new, or else, you know, it's going to be bad. So you have a certain sound, like, I guess you have like the Future type sound, that's, you know, obviously super successful right now, but is it going to be the same sound in a year? Like, I don't know. Like, last year it was like DJ Mustard beats, and you ride the wave, and then you gotta keep it moving. And you see the people who have lasted are the people who evolve and keep it moving, and then you see the people who are just hot for that one year because of that sound.
No, absolutely. I totally agree. And you have, it's basically the most successful ones evolve correctly. I mean, for example, I don't know if you heard Kid Cudi's latest album where he decided to do grunge rock. I'm like, what the fuck am I listening to?
Yeah, I wasn't the biggest fan of that album. I am a huge Kid Cudi fan, and the couple of singles he's put out recently are really good, and they're back to kind of his more melodic style. But, you know, that's the type of artist he is. He's trying things, and he's actually looking to, you know, raise the bar, and he's looking to do something different instead of, you know, doing what worked for him when he started and doing it over and over until people get tired of it. He's innovating. And there's a lot of innovative artists, and there's a lot of people who are just like, oh, I'm going to use the same thing because it works, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, look at Drake, for example. The last like three releases he put out are like totally different.
Yeah. What I love, I'm a big Drake fan, but I think after this, obviously it's time to innovate a little more. I feel like this sound that he has right now is obviously that, you know, that great Drake sound, but it's like, are you going to take 10 albums of it? Or are you going to do six and do, you know, a different type of thing? You know, it's just, you know, and that's what's cool about music. And that's what's cool about the artists that like the change. It's like, you never know what they're going to do next. And there are certain artists that you're going to know exactly what they're going to do next. You know, it's like, oh, just another typical this type of track, and that works for them, and that if they want to make money and be successful that way, that's fine. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's really who you want to be as an artist, and do you want to be a game changer, or do you want to just, you know, ride the wave and, you know, see how long you can use the same recipe.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, the perfect example, love him or hate him, is Kanye.
Yeah, well, I mean I'm also a huge Kanye fan, so,
same here. Yeah.
Anytime someone says, yo, you hear that new Kanye, I'm like, I need to hear it, because I couldn't tell you what I think a new Kanye song would sound like, you know. And that's part of the best thing about him, and that's the reason why no matter what he does, he's still going to get so much attention when he drops an album, because people don't know what it sounds like until they press play.
Yeah, and to think that he went through, I think, what do you say, like either 50 or 500 songs that he just does. He does like a song or two a day, and I'm just like baffled by it.
A lot of people do. I'm noticing that now, just being on an indie, that, you know, you do that even when you're not Kanye. you make a lot of songs and you pick the best ones.
His latest one was The Life of Pablo, and I think that was like maybe 20 tracks. Like, how do you go through like 500 songs and just go, all right, these 20 are good?
Yeah, I have no idea. But it is interesting.
So how many do you usually do? Like Tron and DVD, how many do you guys do before you come out with an album?
I mean, is what we've been used to doing, like before we even got picked up was I would literally plan out the album like, all right, I'm doing 11 to 13 tracks and I'll make probably either 11 or 13.
Okay, you're one of those. All right.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we usually do. But the way that, you know, once you get into, you got people riding on, you know, making the best product that you can make, then you got to really start producing a lot more songs. So that's what we've been doing lately. It's just, I've been making a lot of beats and we've been writing to a lot of different things. And we're looking for a correlation of songs that are going to fit together for the album.
Okay, so basically the same style songs are going to be together. You know, it's not more of like a compilation album that I do see like in most mixtapes.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you're doing an album, then you definitely want to have a consistent theme and a sound, something that makes someone go from track one all the way to the last track in order. And mixtapes are mixtapes. You know, I love doing mixtapes. They're fun, and I feel like you got a little more freedom on them as far as, you know, just what you put on it. But then again, everyone always wants to make their own, you know, they're really start from scratch creation, and that's where albums should be.
Yeah, they really should. And it's pretty cool to see, you know, you going out for 11 or 13 tracks and you're doing that 11 or 13, like the best ones. It's not like, all right, I'm down to like these final three, one of them's going to make the cut, but I want to include this one.
But that's definitely the common practice, is to do a lot of songs. And, you know, there are so many songs out there from artists that we probably love that never see the light of day. And it's interesting to think, when will you ever hear them, or if you will ever hear them?
Yeah, the latest one is Prince. Apparently he could put out an album for the next 50 years or something like that. That's what his estate said.
Yeah. Wow. Definitely, if you have, you know, a studio in your house and all your job is to make music and you're as talented as he is, then yeah, that's gonna be what you're gonna have.
I could only just be extremely nervous to see, all right, you know what, maybe this sounds repetitive to that, or that sounds the same as that, or
yeah,
like this.
I mean, that definitely happens. And but when you're not putting them out yet, you're gonna have 20 songs that probably sound similar, but there's only one spot for that song. So you pick out of those 20, you know, which one of these is the best party track. Let's say you only have room for one party track, mm-hmm. and you made 20 party tracks. So that's why you do it, because you want to pick the best one to go into that position, not just the only one that you made.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I'm the type of person that would second guess myself a lot.
Yeah, I mean, the process I've been going through as just like an artist, like especially learning from my boss, and just doing a bunch of reading, you can't worry about what happens after you make a song. You have to just make the song. And even if you don't think it's going to come out or anything, you just make the song first. So, you know, then it's not a problem if you make 20 songs that all sound the same, because you don't have to use them all.
And plus, you can also throw out a B-side, a rarity record, and
yeah,
or upload them for free on SoundCloud.
Yeah, like a lot of bands do. They, you know, they always come out later with the special, you know, demos. Or like, I know that Fleetwood Mac for Record Store Day came out with a completely alternative version of Tusk that were just like other versions of the songs on Tusk.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's like, do you really need that? But, you know, it's still interesting to have.
Yeah, but their fans are going to eat it up regardless.
Yeah,
exactly. So.
Yeah.
Look, they could basically do what they want. You know, they're on the FU money type of stage right now.
Yeah, no, then that's what it's like really all about. Getting to that point where your fans are gonna like, you know, Kanye dropped demos. I'd definitely, you know, download them. Like, you know, or if he dropped the vinyl of like B sides, I would totally buy it.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, he did a great thing with the whole Good Friday releases.
Yeah, that was a very good that was good stuff. I really enjoyed that when he did that.
Yeah, and the best part was he ended up putting a few album cuts, which I think was My Big Beautiful Dark Fantasy.
Yeah, yeah.
He put a few album cuts on those releases. So, you know, you would think, okay, yeah, that's not going to make the album. And then you hear it, you're like, oh, my God, it did.
Yeah. What were you going
to
say?
Oh, no, I was about to say, did you ever try to do something similar? Can you do like a song a week, or you just...
Yeah, when we were working on a couple of mixtapes back, we had this thing called Sick Life Saturdays where we just put out like a random song, and they a few of them ended up on Adventure Time 2, which was a kind of bigger mixtape for us as far as the people who do listen to us, they liked a lot.
It's basically you're testing the water before you throw it all on an album.
Yeah, and sometimes you just want to put something out just to be a musician, and you just want to be like, hey guys, look what I made today, you know. And it doesn't even have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be an album. It doesn't have to be this big thing. It can just be like, yo, I was bored the other day and I made this because I have a studio in my house. And, you know, like people don't realize how much freedom they have with the technology that they have before you are doing music professionally. People always worry about, oh, is it the right time? It's like, do you have a boss or do you have like anticipation of an album? Like, no. So just make your fucking music. I'm sorry. Can I curse on here?
Oh, fuck yeah. Curse as much as you want.
It's like, make your music and then put it out. Like if you're not signed or anything, just keep putting it out. No one is going to stop liking you if you put out a lot of music. I mean, will everyone get to listen to it? Like, no, but if that's what you want to do, then then do it. You shouldn't go against your instincts, you know, before you start planning it like as like a business. Like now, like we're planning it like, obviously we can't just drop the album tomorrow because we need people to buy it, so we have to, you know, start from the beginning and start from, you know, promoting and doing a single and a video and press and stuff like that. But if you don't have that, then there's nothing you need to worry about besides a few, you know, Facebook posts and a few emails to some blogs, and then put it out. And then if not enough people like it, then make something better and after and do it again.
And that's great that you don't get discouraged after, you know, if you have one dud release, you don't go, all right, you know what, I'm hanging it up, I can't do this anymore, which a lot of people actually do.
Yeah, and what the thing about that is, it's like anything in the world, then it wasn't meant for you, you know? You got to have the right mindset, you know? You can't expect, if you give up after, you know, a little criticism or, you know, a little negative commentary, then what are you going to do when you have a million fans and then there's a million other people who are like, oh, that, you know, that album sucks. Like, what are you going to do, you know?
Exactly. The best piece of advice I've ever heard was, you know what, not all of your fans are going to like the stuff, but if you try to appeal to everyone, you're going to appeal to no one.
Exactly. It's very simple. And it's a very hard thing for a lot of people to get over as well.
Yeah, plus the fact that, you know, you were once a private citizen, and now you're making yourself known, and you're making your creation, your blood, your sweat, your tears, and basically you put your soul on a track, and if someone doesn't like it, you know, you can't really take it that much to heart because it's not meant for them.
Well, yeah, it's not. It's and it would be impossible to make something that everyone would like. You know, all that matters is the people that do like it.
Absolutely. And like I last podcast, I talked with a guitarist. His name is Rich Ward. And he came up with like the 10% rule, where 10% of people aren't going to like it. I mean, if you're at a show and 9 people are into the music while one person's on their phone, are you really going to focus in on that one person and wonder why they're not liking it? Or are you going to like the 9 others that like it, you know?
And he could not like it for a reason that the 9 other people do like it. So the majority is going to win, you know, and, you know, it's really, it has to also go along with what I said earlier about what kind of artist you want to be.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing that people need to decide before they even ever get paid for anything. They need to decide what kind of artist they're going to be, because this other stuff, all these other things that can happen are going to change or affect you in ways that could change you. So if you stay the course, you say, I want to be this artist, and you apply that to every decision that comes your way, then you won't let yourself down.
Absolutely. And you just have to remember, it's all about what you feel is great.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, Tron, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Do you have any plugs for the people?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just check out kiamrecords.com, KIAM records.com. And definitely just, you know, be on the lookout for some stuff from us. We have a lot out there, but, you know, the more time we take right now is that's how people know that we're actually working really hard instead of rushing to put something out just because we got, you know, a bigger platform now. So KyimRecords.com, Tron and DVD on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you know, and just keep supporting, you know, underground music. Don't feel bad about not going to, you know, Beyonce's Formation tour. She's going to be okay. It's not that I wouldn't go to that. I'm just saying, like, don't feel bad about it. But, like, you know, if there's a band that's playing at the local venue, you know, they're, and you actually like them, then you want them to succeed. So go see them, buy the merch, buy the records, because it's kind of like voting. You vote with your money. If you don't like the people you hear on the radio and TV, then guess what? Someone is buying their shit to put them there. So
exactly.
You want to definitely support the music you want to see succeed, or you want to make it. If you don't like the song, make one better.
Yeah. It's so easy to criticize when you're behind a computer screen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and for more details, you can also go on to tronanddvd.com. Yep. And you can also listen to their stuff on SoundCloud for free, soundcloud.com/tronanddvd. But like you also said, definitely support.
Spotify, Tidal, iTunes, Apple Music, just Tron and DVD. It's all there. And YouTube, we got a lot of videos, live videos. We're doing a little mini series called Boys Get Lost, Min Explorer, just about, you know, us going to the studio and, like, preparing to, like, you know, upgrade to this bigger platform of, you know, independent record label. So,
well, that's awesome. A little behind the scenes look.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's great. So yeah, definitely buy. Please don't steal, because stealing gets you nowhere.
Yeah.
And gets the artist nowhere. So if you actually like Tron and DVD stuff, you know, buy it off of iTunes. You have a web store, right, on your website?
Oh, no, we're not. We don't sell anything right now.
Oh, okay.
So that stuff is free for now. The music is free for now.
Okay, so then go on Spotify and then give them your 1/10 of a penny.
Yes.
For each stream, because that's not bullshit or anything.
It's, you know, for people like us, it's big. But for, I guess, when you're missing out on millions, then it's terrible.
Yeah, look, it's perfect marketing, especially once you add a playlist with similar artists and you throw your music in there. Apparently that's the way to go with Spotify. That's what a lot of people have told me. So
yeah, no, I think it's great, because it's a thing a lot of people have to listen to bigger artists. So if they see that you're on there, they're gonna, you know, be like, oh, okay, cool, instead of, like, you know, having to, like, put a CD in their car, or, you know, go download a mixtape off of, like, That Piff or something. Already in the main store where they get their favorite music anyway.
Exactly. You're just one click away.
Yep. The easier, the better.
Damn right. Tron, thank you so much, man.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Later, man.
And there you have it. Episode number 23. I'd like to thank Tron for coming on the show. And that's about it from us. So thanks again to Tron. It's Tron and DVD. All of his information is in the description for the episode. And now here's one of his songs in full. I think we're going to go with the song New Wave, featuring both Tron and DVD. So hopefully you like it. We'll be back next Monday with a very special guest. And we'll drop some hints about it on Twitter. But thank you guys so much. We'll see you next Monday. Bye. Start.
fresh from the sketch, from bones to the flesh, unknowns to the best, left home for the quest. Those stones I can check before I get my feet wet. Need to feel the sea's depths while I'm taking each step. Always seeing what's next. They thought that I would lose. I'm converting all the black I get to something I can use. Watch me harness all these powers while I'm fucking with these tools. Like these tools through the fire for the fuse. I refuse, getting moods and attitudes. I use them as my muse, never catch them blue-red. Trying to sing the fucking blues, so I'm bruised and broken, never choose. The suckers were the pools, our oceans gotta cruise. Our coast, cause it all comes in waves, like sounds that you play. I'm ready for the day, been ready for the stage, been heading for the change. Though my mind's distorted, I'm collecting all my thoughts. Now it's time to export, new way.
That's that shit we on, new day,
new day.
Rockin' from dusk till dawn,
not afraid, not afraid.
We've been waiting so long, like
I'm ready for the stage, been heading for the change. New way,
new way. That's that shit we on,
new day,
new day. Rockin' from dusk till dawn,
not afraid, not afraid.
We've been waiting so long, like
I'm ready for the stage, been headed for the change. What's up?
Newly crowned king of this castle, it ain't a hassle. Rather feel the sand under my feet than asphalt. Watch while our progress go right past y'all, and you wonder why the old ways never lasted long. These are the new rules, we are the new way. A glitch in the game, a whirlpool in the bay. They say an iron fist lands no hits on the wind, so we move with the breeze, turn our losses into wins. My mind holds the legislation, we hang in tent with the flag waving. Forget skating the pavement, we make no payments, no debt, no arrangements. Living free like the world made us, that's why you all hate us. We are God's creators, no scriptures on these papers. No vision when there's gators. Nobody hears your prayers. This game has no players. Destroy pillars and layers. Non-believers come together with the naysayers.
New way, new way.
That's that shit we on.
New day,
new day. Rockin' from dusk till dawn.
Not afraid, not afraid.
We've been waiting so long, like
I'm ready for the stage. Been heading for the change. New way,
new way. That's that shit we on.
New day,
new day. Rockin' from dusk till dawn.
Not afraid, not afraid.
We've been waiting so long, like
I'm ready for the stage, been headed for the change. What's up? Yeah, nigga, we are back. Trying DVD, New Hall, and Kevin Nash. When I see something thick, right click, save as. When I need it, I retrieve it, then you drive like the Flash. That's rip,
that's rip.
Hit the menu, restart, just a recap. Now we back, tear a menu apart. Don't need that old weak ass raps you call an art. Got me back, we'll leave that shit right in the garbage.
They out here trying to mimic niggas like Ditto. I came back from hell with the devil's fiddle. Stumping niggas with the riddle, watch me cook a little. Monkey in the middle, they getting salty just like a pickle. Tron, I'm a badass motherfucker. Skinny like old school Chris Tucker. Rapping with my brother like presents for our mother. Light and dark skin like New York undercover.